Welcome to the earnings conference call of the third quarter of 2025 of Pay. My name is Natalia, and I'll be your operator for today's call. All attendees are currently on mute. You may ask questions via the web platform or your phones. These will be answered at the end of the session. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to greet you and have you join us on our call to discuss our third quarter 2025 results. Joining us today are Jairo Corrales, CEO of Pay Asset Management, Andrés Esquivel, who heads the commercial management of Pay, and Edwin Urrea, who heads the financial management of Pay. I am Daniel Torres, Director of Investor Relations and Capital Markets. This morning, we have four items on our agenda. We will start with the progress of the strategy, followed by the vehicle's operating and financial results. We will then move on to the development of the capital markets and close with our usual Q&A session. Let's give the floor to our CEO, Jairo Corrales.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Good morning, investors. As usual, it's a pleasure to be with you. Today, we are going to share with you the results for the third quarter of 2025 with very good news. We will begin by reviewing the most relevant topics. First, we will discuss the factors that had a positive impact on the management of the real estate portfolio. We will also discuss the commercial and operational management, and then we'll touch on financial matters and the capital markets. When it comes to the real estate portfolio, it's important to tell you that we had major advances in the strategy of its optimization. As you are very well aware, because we've shared with you in prior calls, we are carrying out a disinvestment process of a commercial asset in which Pay would move from having 100% to 49%. It's a significant disinvestment within a category which is commercial, which weighs 45% of our revenue. We're in the final stage of the negotiation, and we will complete it this year. It's also important to share with you that we began the demolition of the asset that we call Torre Calle 90 or Seguros del Estado. Remember, Seguros del Estado is one of the lenders that has been with us since the beginning of Pay, and with them for about a year, we agreed to demolish the current installation and make one new with the highest standards and specifications. This project will take about 2 years, and as I said, it will begin the demolition process about a month ago. When it comes to the commercial and operational management, I'd like to highlight first major advances in the commercialization of Atrio. As you know, Atrio is an iconic building for Bogotá and Colombia, and for Pay, it has a representative weight, but unfortunately, its operation coincided with a pandemic, and it delayed its commercialization. However, with the negotiations that we've made throughout the prior years and this year, by the end of this year, we'll have an occupation close to 65%. This is relevant not only because it has to do with the category of offices, but also the commercial base. When it comes to sustainability, which is an ongoing concern of ours, it's important to say that we installed solar panels on two of our assets, one commercial area, which is Cartago, a shopping mall in northern Valle, which is not only for this population, but it touches other populations in the north of the Valle, Risaralda, and Quindío. We also implemented a project of solar panels on a corporate asset, which is Amadeus. This is an office building in the northern area of 103 in Bogotá. There we'll have important savings in energy and also, in the case of our Bogotá, to transfer a benefit to our lenders on a medium and long-term term, and also letting us to charge better rents. Lastly, when it comes to the financial and marketing management of capitals, let's highlight two things. From August 19 to September 3, we successfully issued a section of our securities. Ahead, I'll talk about this more. And it's also important to mention that Bay entered the S&P Columbia Select Index with a weight of above 4.5%. And it's important because, as you know, to belong or to be included in these indexes means more liquidity and visibility of our stock. Ahead during the presentation, we'll refer to this matter. With regard to the 12th issue, some of the most important topics are the awarding date was September 3rd. As you remember, we mentioned this in several calls. The amount issued was 500 billion pesos. The amount demanded was 1.5 trillion pesos, meaning that demand was close to three times. The rating that we had from S&P is a AAA. And what did we do with the resources? Well, something obviously which is very relevant. As we said, this issue is marked within a general strategy. We cannot look at it alone. And in this particular case, it had a specific use of the resources to apply the debt. That's why about 95% of all the resources were, no, exactly 98% were applied to the debt. And what debt? Well, the most expensive one. The rest, 2.2%, was used to pay the interest related to the debts that were prepaid, the GMF or by 1,000, and the cost inherits to the commission of the different companies, partnerships, and stockbrokers that participated in this process. Very, very good positive results of pay are. Remember, about 24 months ago, the debt relationship that we had in pay was close to 7%. But with this transaction of resources and applying to pay the most expensive debt, this indicator today is 4.67 times. And this is very relevant for the rating and the perception of risk of different audiences. The debt or loan to value, which was above 30% at 33% exactly, decreased significantly, and today pay has a value of 27.8%. And the last indicator that we introduced, an ICR, which measures the relationship between EBITDA and financial expenses, which reached 1.2, today is at 1.73 times. These are very relevant results, which again improve the perception of risk of pay and on a medium long term should allow us to have better conditions in the debt. Several topics that I'd like to highlight are the benefits of this issue. First, we paid the most expensive loans, and this allowed us to prepay 10 of the loans that we had with an average CAI of 11% and an average duration close to 2 years. In addition, this section had a very positive effect that was very important. It was increased the base of investors. Before the issue, pay had about 7,300 investors, but after we have 8,300, meaning it grew almost by 1,000 investors. And among the new investors, we have to highlight that international investors grew 14%. We've said that we want to expand the base, that we want to enhance the liquidity of pay, and that these events should lead to close the gap between the equity value of the certificate and that of the secondary market. Although you can't see it on the screen, another important effect was the recovery of the value of the security. Today, pay security is at 82,000 pesos. Before the issue, it was at 70,000. So that was the price for the emission, and that represented an increase above 15%. We've had a very important recovery of the security. And obviously, something else very important with a medium long-term vision is that this issue first allowed us to recover the condition as recurrent issuers and prepare us to grow profitably in next years, allowing us to make new acquisitions, which surely we can capture opportunities that without the issue we wouldn't have. From the results of the issue, as you can see, these are very positive. Remember that the 12 in almost 18 years of pay, and before we made it in 2019, So it's been 6 years since we haven't arrived the market capital markets. So what about in future years? As the macroeconomic conditions allowed us, we'd like to issue bonds. Remember, bonds are very important tools to manage structured capital of the vehicle, to have long-term debt and surely at a fixed rate, which is ideal within the financial planning that we have. Now I'd like to give the floor to, no, before I give the floor to Andrés Esquivel, who will talk about the commercial results, I'd like to show you the main results of Pay. The general figures show assets under management of Pay reached 9.93 billion pesos. We have a debt that decreased, as we said. It was above 3.2. Today is at 2.75 billion. Investors today of this portfolio of Pay is of 8,290 individuals and corporations, and we have about 1,500 lenders. Some operating results. The rentable area exceeds 1,140 square meters. Our physical vacancy is at 7.2, up 200 basic points. Now we'll look ahead. We'll look at the performance of by categories, and the economic vacancy is close at 8%, up 54%. Although these two indicators have results that are not positive, we will frame them within an analysis and several results that we cannot reflect still, because there are some contracts that are underway their signature. But you will see a change in the trend and gray figures. And when it comes to the renovated square meters during this quarter, we reached 75,000, which represent 78% of the renewal of contracts. We have to mention that this indicator, which was always at 90, above 90%, but dropped to 80% because of the non-renewal of a contract in the building of Capitol Towers in Bogota. However, the good news is that although that contract was not renovated, the replacement of spaces was quick, and today practically the area that was returned was placed entirely. Close to 47,000 square meters lent during this period. And when it comes to financial results, these are positive. We reached revenue above 600 billion. That's about an increase compared to last year of more than 72%. That means close to 200 basic points above inflation. The NOI margin exceeded 500 billion, up 8%. The ROI margin has a great performance, growing 64 basic points at 83.86%. The EBITDA of Pay in these first 9 months rises to the sum of 428 billion pesos, up 7%, and represents a margin of 70.8%. The net accounts receivable have had healthy performance at 5 billion, representing 0.66% of the revenue of the last 12 months. And something that's very relevant for you and that is very positive for next week is the distributable cash flow. We will give 65 billion pesos of yields distributable. Remember, this indicator has been growing compared to the last year and has had a substantial increase compared to a year before, and even stronger than 2023. These 65 billion represent an amount of 1,300 per share, which is above the amount that we gave in the prior quarter, close to 1,280. Although today there are more outstanding shares. And this is important, and this was obviously made because of a significant financial savings, not because of much of the fall of the rates, although we thought that they would fall to a lower rate, but because of the prepayment of the obligations that I've mentioned. This will be received, investors, on November 18, and we have projected for 2025 a total delivery of yields distributable that exceeds $225 billion. And there, remember the development of this indicator. In 2023, it was barely $60 billion. Last year, $135 billion. And this year, we're giving close or more than 225 billion pesos. So this way, I can show the highlights, and now let's provide details. Firstly, Andres Esquivel will talk about the performance of the commercial portfolio. Andres?
Good morning. Thank you, Haida. Good morning, dear investors. Next, we'll provide you a summary of the commercial and operational management for the third quarter of the year. As you can see on the top left figure, our trend of physical vacancy closed on the third quarter of the year with an indicator of 7.20% in total vacancy of the portfolio. This is practically stable compared to the quarter immediately before. We had a decrease only of 2 basis points, and this is explained for 3 things. Firstly, we had more than 2,700 square meters in the category of categories out, which was counteracted with the placement of close than 3,000 square meters, which ahead will give more details about these placements. And also, there is an effect of dilution because of the disinvestment of the CI asset, which was in Bogota, and corresponds to an area close to 19,000 square meters. This explains the variation. Again, ahead we'll be providing more details of each one of these categories. Looking at the top figure on the right, we see the economic vacancy. There we can see a decrease of 41 basis points. This is mainly represented because of the completion of the grace periods of a placement that we made in the building QE in Bogota last quarter. And also, as Haida mentioned, part of the completion or termination of a contract of 5,000 square meters of capital in Bogota, which right now is again placed 90% of this area, and it corresponds to a termination of the period of grace of 2 offices in this asset, which were commercialized also in the quarter immediately before. On the very bottom, you can see our diversification figure, which obviously without city of the 19,000 square meters, you can see very, very marginal variations, but we can consolidate the 3 main categories, shopping centers, corporate assets, and logistic assets in that same order. And lastly, looking at the figure on the bottom right, here we can see our plan for maintenance of the assets. Here you can see to date, we have the beginning execution of more than 340 projects for a figure above 43 billion pesos, in which you can see almost 90% of inactivities of CapEx and 10% in repairs and maintenance. On the next slide, and looking closer at the commercial management, we have the corporate category. And this category shows a variation compared to its physical vacancy. Here we can see an increase of 7 basis points. And as I've mentioned, we lost about 3,000 square meters. And the most representative active was in building WP in Bogota, and without 1,500 square meters. But in turn, we had a positive absorption of a little more than 3,000 square meters represented mainly in Atrio. Remember that at the end of July, we placed an additional floor with the company that has been lending since last year. And right now, we packed the separation
or the right of preference of floor 11. Therefore, this floor is not being commercialized, and we expect that before we end the year, we can materialize through a contract and generating revenue close to 2,000 square meters. It's also important to mention that we placed 800 square meters in the building's Megaport in Bogota and in the building WP with the company GTD, which we also underscored the finalization of the intervention of their office through our project, or better, our scheme of metrics at four, which consolidate or capture several added values, both financial for pay and for the company. With regards to economic vacancy, we can see a decrease of 128 basic points, which is mainly explained by the termination of the periods of grace of two offices that were placed in Capitol Tower, which reflect our capacity to anticipate these terminations and corresponds to that placement of 5,000 square meters, which were terminated by a multilateral body and rises more from the migration policies that had changes regarding definitions made by the Trump government. This allowed us again to set an indicator close to 11% of economic vacancy, which was the goal that we had for this quarter. And it's also very important here to mention that although the vacancy indicator, we haven't been able to get close again to the 11% at the end of this report, meaning figures for October 31st, you can see a total vacancy of the portfolio of 6.99%. And particularly for the category, which is corporate, we are at 12%. And this is mainly because, as Haido said, of positive dynamics that we've seen in Atrio, where we've already commercialized three of the four commercial pavilions. The first with the company or the brand of restaurants Wok, which would occupy a pavilion of 500 square meters. And also, we already materialized our gym on the second floor with an area close to 800 square meters, and that we would complement very well the amenities we have in Atrio. These two negotiations we expect will begin their operation at the end of January or early February. In addition, we can also highlight the signing in October of more than 1,700 square meters in Capitol Towers building. And all this, as I've mentioned, allow us to reduce the indicators of total physical vacancy of the portfolio to a figure of 6.99% and incorporate of 12%. Moving on to the next slide, we see the commercial category, in which on the top left, we can see the dynamics of physical and economic vacancy, showing a reduction of 48 basic points in physical vacancy, which allows us to set again below the 5% with an indicator of 4.70. And this is mainly explained by the placement of more than 1,000 square meters in our portfolio of shopping centers, Único, mainly Único Barranquilla and Único Neiva. Likewise, we see a slight increase in the economic vacancy that corresponds to the expectations we had of sales made for this quarter. However, so far this year, the sales indicator that we can see on the right-hand side figure keeps showing us very positive trends. Indeed, you can see numbers here that have compared with the indicators of the industry in general, we still show the resiliency of our assets compared to specific periods. Particularly in quarterly sales, we see a growth of 13.51% with sales per square meter of 818,000 pesos versus 720,000 pesos that we had for the same period last year. And with regards to total traffic, to date, we have an accumulated traffic which is close now to 70 million people versus 67 million people that we had for the same period of the year before. This cell shows the good dynamics and the good work that has been done in most of our shopping centers. Moving on to the next slide, here we have the logistics category. Here you can see in physical vacancy, there is an adjustment that doesn't correspond to absorption of square meters, but instead, as I said, to the dilution effect with the exit of 19,000 square meters of the say warehouse that was disinvested last quarter. While the economic vacancy shows a decrease of 75 basic points that correspond to the completion or termination of the period of grace of the warehouse that we rented to Agosto and that was in the absorption frame of the completion also of a contract that we anticipate in those placements. As a relevant aspect, on the right-hand side, you can see the negotiation that we reached with NAWA in the toll-free area, the Pacific. Remember, here we had a contract with the multinational that said that it wanted to end the contract last year, and this allowed us to identify the capacity we have to react to these areas so we won't have economic vacancies that are very extensive and even less physical vacancies. Also, when it comes to our assets, we see the execution of projects for a figure that exceeds 19 billion pesos, in which we can see a figure close to 90% in projects for CapEx and a bit more than 10% in repairs and maintenance. Lastly, moving on to our category of hospitality and specialized, I'd like to give you the good news that our specialized assets have an occupation of 100%. And now looking into our hospitality assets closer, there's a great news, and is that we've reached a record figure in occupation for our university or college residences. Remember that we have one in Bogota, CTU, and the other in Jamundí, which is called Boho. In both assets, as I said, we've managed to reach major milestones when it comes to occupation. Let's begin with CTU. On the top left, the black line shows us how by the second semester of 2025, remember that because of the cycles of the colleges or universities, we have semestral cuts and not quarterly cuts as we do with other assets. So for the second semester of the year, we have an occupation indicator of 96%. And it's the highest we've had historically in this asset, with an average total occupation of the year of 90%. This same indicator accumulated of occupation for 2024 was at 88%. And now looking at the orange line, you can see the trend of the Boho occupation. By the end of the year, we have an occupation close to 77% and accumulated of the year of 73%. Versus an accumulator of the year 2024 close to 62%. So through our special operators and in the direct management of pay asset management, you can see that we understand the assets better, the dynamics of the market. We can make adjustments of our strategies, and this is shown in these indicators. Lastly, looking at the bottom graph, we can see our Casa Blanca asset, which is in Baru. And here we can still see very interesting dynamics. First, let's talk about the occupation. Although the occupation for the third quarter of 2025, which is at 65.6%, and remains very much aligned with the same quarter of 2024, the accumulated indicator so far this year increased in occupation compared to the same period in 2024 of 20 basic points. If we join this with an increase that we've had in the rate of 11%, setting at an average rate of 1.7 million pesos per room, we see that at the end of the year, and you can see it in the trend with the black line where we see revenue, there we have accumulated revenue in the year close to 50 billion pesos, which is a growth of 9% versus the same period of the year immediately before, which also reflects more understanding in the dynamics of the business and allows us to adjust these rates and capture better opportunities. With this, we end the summary of the commercial management, and let's give the floor now to our financial manager, Evan Urrea, who will tell us about the financial results of the third quarter. Thank you, Andres. Let's begin looking at the top left of the slide, and let me give you initial context. We're going to review a comparison quarter by quarter and a comparison of the year so far, the first 9 months of 2024, comparing the first 9 months of 2025. Why? Remember, base business is stational, and it tends to have better results in the first semester. Why? Mainly because of the repairs and maintenance works made at CAPEX, which begin in the first part of the year and are recognized in the accounting books between the third and fourth quarter of the year. Looking at the specific results of the third quarter, we can see that revenue had a total of 200 billion pesos, which is equivalent to a growth close to 6.5% compared to the same period of 2024. When we look at the results of the first 9 months so far, we see a performance that's very similar, showing a growth of 7.2%, setting us with a result of 605 billion pesos. So why do we see this performance? First, of course, the natural organic growth of the lease agreements, which can collect inflation. A second factor, which Andres mentioned and we've shared with you in different calls, is the effort made to close vacancies, mainly in the category of corporates. And the third effect that Andres mentioned also is the good result of the variable revenues. Remember that variable revenues depend on the results of the sales. And as we saw in a couple of slides before, during the quarter, the performance of sales has grown more than 13%. Looking at the top right graph, we see the NOI, or the operating revenue, during the third quarter. We see a performance that goes in line with the performance of revenue, up 6.4%, setting us at 165 billion pesos compared to 156 billion showed in the third quarter of 2024. And in the 9 months of this year versus that of 2024, we grew 8% in terms of profitability. When we look at the margin NOI, we see that for the third quarter of 2025, there's a slight decrease of the margin from 82.9% to 82.7%. This has to do with the stations, as I said at the beginning, because we complete the repairs and maintenance works, and we make the accounting recognition of these. That's why the margin in the third and fourth quarter should be substantially lower than what we saw in the first semester. We should have a trend of a margin close to 82.5%. We also have an effect that we record in reimbursable expenses. Remember, these have to do with safety, maintenance, clean or housekeeping in the shopping centers, and recognize also the repairs and maintenance. When we look at the first nine months of the year, we see, on the other hand, that we have a result related to efficiencies that we reached during the year, an improvement of the margin from 83.2% to 83.9%, which in any case, again, should keep migrating to levels close to 83%. Looking at the EBITDA, which is the profitability of our cash flow, we see that during the third quarter of 2025, EBITDA set at 137 billion pesos, up close to 4% when compared to the same quarter in 2024. Here we have one effect, one that we have anticipating, and it's related to the commissions of the real estate administrator of Pay Asset Management. Remember that after changing the commissions today, the commissions of Pay are 100% variable. So if we have a better result of NOI and cash flow distributable, the commissions of the real estate administrator increase. In addition, during the third quarter of 2025, we recognized commissions from lending for brokers for the closing of vacancies in assets like Atrium and Capital Towers that Andrés mentioned. When we look at the performance in nine months, we see that the margin remains practically unchanged, with a decrease close to about 20 basis points, reaching 70.9%. And in nominal terms, the EBITDA is at 428 billion. Moving at the figure right, lower figure right, as Jairo said, the distributable cash flow paid that we will be paying on November 18. When we look at it by share, it's at 1,302 pesos, or equivalent to a nominal amount close to 65 billion pesos. When compared with the same flow that we gave in the prior quarter, we see an increase of about 20 pesos by share. And when compared against the quarter of the year before, we see a growth of almost 300 pesos per share. So how do we see this in terms of profitability of dividend or the dividend yield? Basically, we are setting it with a dividend yield in the market close to 6.5%, which is very positive news in terms of the cash distributable for our investors. So let's look at slide 17, please, where we can see which is the performance of the financial expense and the portfolio of debt of the vehicle. On the top left-hand side, you can see the performance of the cost of the debt of the portfolio, which has been the financial expense. And we can see that by the third quarter of 2025, we have a reduction of about 20 basis points from 10.52% to 10.32%. Here, I'd like to mention, Jairo mentioned with regards to the strategy, we have a very relevant effect, and it's with the resources from the titularization. We made a prepayment of debt of 500 billion pesos, which, of course, shows in the cost, in the composition, and in the level of indebtedness. In terms of cost, we had a reduction of 20 basis points, and we could compensate an increase that we had in the inflation. If we look at the gray line of this graph, we see that the inflation moved in the second quarter from 4.82 to 5.18. As we said before, one of the benefits of the titularization is to prepare for scenarios in which, one, the rates don't drop at the same pace that the market anticipates, or second, as we saw in this quarter, that the inflation and the intervention rate can have growth. If there is no increase in inflation, we should have had an additional decrease in the cost of the debt. However, this prepares us for scenarios in which the pace of the development of the rates of inflation is different. When we look at the financial expense, we see an important decrease compared to the third quarter of 2024. It's close to 13 billion pesos, from 92 billion in the same quarter of last year to 80 billion in the third quarter of 2025. On the next graph, you see the indexation of the debt, which is saying what is the exposure that our portfolio has to the debt of different indicators. And here we can see that the performance between the second and third quarter of 2025, there's a small dilution of the composition in the exposure we have to inflation. One, it's the result, of course, because of prepaying the debt. And second, it's also intentional, keeping in mind that we consider that IBR still has, that follows the performance of the intervention rate, should have more space to drop or decrease in the coming months compared to inflation. Although it's been increasing, it's close to the goal of the central bank. In terms of fixed rate, we have 12%, and in terms of IBR, we are at 38.6%. Moving to the debt level, on the bottom left, we can see a very important message that we already mentioned, but I'd like to mention again, and it's the decrease of the loan to value, which is basically measuring our level of debt over the level of our assets, which is, it's really saying that the debt percentage moved from 32.6 to 27.8 in the third quarter of 2025. And it goes in line with the strategy to have a lower leverage level, to have a profitable growth, and also to be able to have better results for our investors. This way, we set with an ICR, or an interest coverage, which means how many times my EBITDA and my financial expense covers. And for the third quarter, we are at 1.73 times. So with this, we conclude the review of the financial results and the performance of the debt portfolio. Let's give the floor to Daniel Torres, our Director of Relations of Investors. Thank you so much, Edwin. Reviewing the slide number 19, we see the performance of the capital markets, and specifically on the top left, the figure shows the performance of the price of the share in the secondary market in the last 12 months. And it had an important effect of growth after the issue that Heido mentioned at the beginning of this call, an appreciation of about 15%, which was consolidated close to 82,000 pesos because of the entry to the S&P Colombia Select Index. Remember that in this index, we follow the ETF of Global XH Coalcell. So this drove us to have on the last bar of the top left graph, that volume that's shown right now. Moving to the daily average of negotiation, or ADTV, it's consolidated above 2.2 billion pesos, a bit less than what we had last year. But remember that in 2024, that average was driven because of the entry of pay to the MCI coal cap. During this year, entering the Standard & Poor's Columbia Select, we've been able to drive the liquidity in the secondary market of the share, and that leads us to have this performance. So therefore, the ranking in which we've been with the samples that are part of the most important index of the stock market of Colombia, which is MSCI Col Cap, places us in the 17th position regarding the valorization we've had in the year, and 12th in terms of the total volume transacted. Remember, here we've had a special performance here for certain samples like it's CBEST, which was before Bancolombia, and everything that has happened in terms of what happened with the Grupo Empresarial Antioqueño. And this has significantly driven the liquidity and valorization of the stocks that are with us in the MSCI Col Cap. So we transact about 2% of the total volume negotiated of those samples that within that index. And at the end of September, transactions made are close to 5 million shares, meaning 11.05% of the outstanding shares. And this metric is important because shows us how many times the shares of pay goes from hand to hand in the secondary market. On slide 20, we see the development of the base of investors after the issue. When we compare the darker bars, the dark gray with the orange ones, which are those of September, you can see the increase of corporations, the offices of families, over 500 basic points, more than 5 percentage points. And we see a fall of the share of pension funds. Remember, it's not only the mandatory pension funds, but also voluntary. We also see a fall of individuals, but what stands out in this figure is the growth of family offices and international funds, which, with this increase of more than 3 percentage points in their share, represent a growth of 58%, setting us as the fourth group of investors that's more relevant. So remember, before the issue, we had 42 million shares. Today, we have 49 million, or almost 50 million outstanding. So far this quarter, we're still expanding the base of our investors, as Jairo mentioned at the beginning, close to 8,300. This implies a growth of 1,130 investors, new investors this quarter. And during the issue, the 12th issue, 40% of the investors exercise the preference right. And this shows us the trust and the long-term vision that our investors have in Pay, in which you know is constituted to be for very, very long term. In 2025, as I said before, we have deepened that diversification of the investor space, which allows us to have a more diverse group of investors. So with this, we end the talk on results, and now we can begin our Q&A session to answer all of the questions made by our investors and the people that join us today in this earnings call. So let's begin with our first question. Javier Villegas from Valores Bancolombia asks, during this quarter, the dividends will include the new shares. Jairo, can you answer? Thank you, Javier. Yes, indeed, Javier. What we'll do on November 18 includes the 50 million shares of pay, including the 7 new shares that were issued in the 12th section. So, although we increase the number of outstanding shares, the value of yield distributable per share increased. And this is significant because it's not only seeing the increase of shares, but there is more stable interest rate performance, very different to what we saw last year. Perfect. Next question is from Mr. Daniel Londoño. How much do you think that you increase the cash flow for next year? Thank you, Daniel. Yes, Daniel, good morning. We have as our policy to present to you, our investors, the budget and our outlook for 2026 in the next call. But we can tell you that there will be a significant increase in distributable cash flow. As we said in this call, for this year, we will be closing with a distributable cash flow close or above 225 billion. For next year, 2026, this sum will be above 300 billion and surely a bit more. These figures will be confirmed in our next call. This would mean an increase in the amount per share distributable that's significant. Remember that today we're at 1,300 and every quarter will be above 1,500. So this will allow us for next year, the dividend yield will be above 7% compared to the value in the market. Thank you, Haido. Manuel Amaya asks, the GDP always shows the best pay has always shown the best assets of the country. However, the vacancy of all the categories has shown a very high average. What's the explanation? Manuel, thank you very much for your question. Firstly, I'd like to be much more precise. In the commercial category and the logistics category, our indicators are above the marketplace. And, or more specifically, during the last 2 quarters, meaning we're talking about a period of 6 months specifically. And in logistics and commercial, the explanation is related to topics absolutely that have to do with timing. Remember, logistics, there was a termination of 16,000 square meters in a warehouse that we have in Mosqueda, and right now we are replacing, but also diagnostics, because we're seeing if we have to reconfigure the space and to try to create the highest efficiencies in terms of rentals. And for commercial or shopping centers, the explanation is because our strategic plan is made thinking that there are opportunities to commercialize that will allow to place the rentals above what we have today. And second, that the commercial mixes should be coherent and drive our shopping centers. Regarding the corporate category, which has been a question that we've been asked in the last calls, we have to say that we have Atrio, or the inclusion of Atrio in the portfolio for a couple of years now. Remember that Atrio is the building with the best specifications we have in Colombia, which makes its commercialization process to be a very specialized segment, not only because of the technical specifications, but because of the level of rent. And creating the answer within the three categories, I would complement by saying that indeed, PAY owns one of the portfolios with the best qualities of assets, and that creates not only our commitment to place them with the best rents for those assets, but also to have clients of the best clients with the best financial muscle, the best reputation. So that's the challenge right there, that Mr. Manuel. So we keep working hard, and again, the indicators that we have as of October 31st are much closer to what we discussed in the last call, but above all, at very healthy levels in the industry of real estate funds.
Haida, would you like to compliment? No, I think that your answer is very clear. Perfect. Mr. Sebastián Palacio asks, why is there a degradation of EBITDA of 187 basic points? What goal of vacancy do you have for the corporate segment by the end of 2025 and 26 and long term? And aren't we late to enter the multifamily segment in Colombia? Since this is a question with different elements, let's begin talking about the financial headwind with the EBITDA, and then we'll move to Andrés to respond all these questions to Mr. Palacio. Sebastián, thank you for your question. First of all, let's make a correction here. On the slide that Haido shared, we had a decrease of the EBITDA margin of 187 basic points. However, the data corresponds to a decrease of 18. The margin moved from 71.1 in the third quarter of 2024 to a margin of 70.9 in the third quarter of 2025. In any case, we have a decrease of 20 basic points, which corresponds, as I explained, to two effects. One, remember that in the year 2023, we made a change of the scheme of commissions of paid asset management, which today is 100% variable. And it depends on the results of the operational earnings and distributable cash flow. So as we increase our distributable cash flow, as we saw last year, we gave about 136 billion. This year, it's 225 billion. As we have a distributable cash flow that's higher and the results of pay improve, the commissions of paid asset management activate the variable. We've also told you before that this margin migrates to levels below 70%, which was the margin in which we set when we had the prior commission scheme. And of course, will depend on the performance of the vehicle. And the second effect is the accounting recognition of commissions from leases for brokers for the placements of assets like Atrio and Capital Towers, which were made during this quarter and in the prior quarter. Let's give the floor now to Andrés Esquivel for the question about the vacancy. Thank you, Edwin. Mr. Sebastián, thank you for your question. Our estimates for the end of the year are focused practically or basically on corporate assets. Our goal is to reach a figure close to 10.90% of physical base vacancy, and in the commercial category to close it at 4.70%. This would give us a total result of the portfolio of 6.70% to end the year. And with regards to commissions, these are part of the strategy that we are developing for Atrio to accelerate or drive or incentivize the commercialization, understanding that the specifications of the building and the levels of rent make it to be more challenging for the brokers in the industry to place our asset with more visibility. In addition, we have a team exclusively devoted to the commercialization, and not all of the transactions are made through commissions, but instead, most are managed directly by the team of paid asset management or our partners who also operate several of our assets. Lastly, with regards to your question of the multifamily category, Sebastián, it's important to remember that pay has a prospect that determines admissible investments. And within these admissible investments, we do not have housing. For pay to enter this segment, we would have to make an amendment that has to be approved by our shareholders. We, from Pay Asset Management, have been making rigorous studies of this category, and we see a lot of potential in it. So it's something that eventually, in the next shareholders meeting, could be submitted to be considered by the investors. And there are two alternatives there. One, indeed,
to enable within the admissible investments for pay the multifamily, or second, to create a second vehicle and to invite investors that want to participate, keeping in mind that it's a category that's very powerful but has characteristics and different profitability. That's why we are making the analysis, and right now it will be, and we know that it will be submitted to the shareholders meeting. Thank you all three for your answers. Mr. Jorge Illich asks, why is there a devaluation of the equity value of the unit of 80% on September 5th, since the share moved from 153,600 to 141,605? Edwin? Jorge, thank you for your question. Basically, this effect corresponds to the larger base of shares because of the titularization that we made and that was recognized that day accountingly. Remember, we moved from having 42 million shares to 50 million shares. So it's basically because of this larger base. Thank you, Edwin. Catherine Ortiz and Simone Munard ask us a similar question of the disinvestments. We will answer them in one. Could you give us more details about the disinvestment process in terms of time and size? Thank you, Daniel. Yes, Catherine. Currently, we have several processes underway. Two are advanced and of relevant size. The first in the commercial category, where we'll have a disinvestment above 50% in one of the assets that Pay has within its portfolio. The size of this transaction could be about 450 billion pesos. And in the category of corporate, there's an office building in which Pay has about 80%, and it's a transaction of close to 180 billion pesos. The business of the shopping center has been developing. We have a document. We have an offer from the potential buyer. And as we explained in the introduction, we expect this transaction to close before the end of 2025. The other has another major advance. It could be between the end of this year, the first quarter of next year. Thank you. Pablo Castro asks, given the sub-value that we see the shares, have you considered making repurchases? Thank you, Danielle. And compliment this, obviously, with the area that you handle. Pablo, indeed, we have considered within the analysis that we've made different possible uses of the resources of a disinvestment. If we make the disinvestment, the advisory committee is the one that should make the analysis and make the last decision in terms of how to use the resources and the potential applications of the resources. So first, it's to decrease the debt, as we said, with the issuance of shares that we made, but also for a special process with the investors. And third, it could be used for what you said, which was to repurchase shares. In addition, the prospect also says that we could make a reinvestment in another real estate asset. So once the transaction closed, the advisory committee makes the decision. And surely aligned with what we've said, part of the resources of the disinvestment are used for an additional payment to obligations we have in force in something close to 24% of the loan to value. But also, we are looking at a special dividend delivery that obviously would be very important, because in addition to the 225 billion pesos that we gave this year, if we destine additional resources, the dividend yield could be closer to 10%. As to repurchasing, remember in 2022, we made a repurchase of shares of 12 billion. That back then, there was high illiquidity, and we considered it was very convenient to offer investors that wanted to get out of that mechanism. And it was successful. The 12 billion pesos were used 100%. But now we have a very different, we have a different condition, because today there's an interesting liquidity. As Daniela said, now we have an ADTV close to 700 million to close to 3,000 last year. And now we're exceeding 2 billion. So the condition is different. And that's why surely the preference will be to prepay debt and a special yield. Also, we have to comment that the share has been recovering, that all of these good news, the validation of the values that we have registered in the accounting of real estate assets through these investments that we've made, the good performance of the cash flow that increased sensibly. Remember, as I mentioned, in 2024, we gave 135,000, while this year we're above 225,000. All this we consider should mean that we close the gap between the amount of this share in the secondary market and the equity value. Thank you, Jairo. Juan Diego Chavez asks, do you project for next year to make another issue of shares like you did recently? Juan Diego, thank you, and it's a very relevant question. One of the topics that we highlight a lot as a positive result of the prior issue is that we recovered the character of recurrent issuers. Remember that Pay's business model says that we buy assets with debt, and to pay that debt, we have to have an equity, which obviously obeys an issue of participative shares. So in theory and in the business model, sure, we foresee to make recurrent issues because it allows us to capture opportunities to purchase portfolios or assets that are profitable and have diversification for the portfolio. But let me also say that we also have to keep in mind that one of the largest strengths of Pay is to have a diversity in its sources of financing. We in the financial sector today have loans that exceed 5 trillion pesos, and we use closer to 700 billion pesos of the debt of Pay correspond to bonds, which is debt acquired through the market of capital. So not only in our vision is to make new issues of participative shares when it's convenient, but also to make issues of bonds to have financing on long terms and in many times non-indexed to an indicator, but instead at a rate that's fixed. So this helps us a lot. To end this Q&A session, an investor asked us if we could repeat which are the estimated vacancies that we will have overall by October 2025 and that we will be reporting in February 2026. Andres? Thank you, Simon, for allowing us to clarify this. It's worth highlighting that today, at the end of the third quarter, the physical vacancy of the portfolio is at 7.20%. This indicator, as of October 31st, which is not reflected in the report, is at 6.99%. through the placements basically in corporate assets. So the vacancy of the corporate portfolio at the end of this report, which is at 1289 to 12%. These are the projections or the indicator at the end of October. And the estimates that were made for the end of 2026 led us to have a corporate category with a figure close to 10.90% for a total vacancy of the portfolio of 6.70%. That would be the clarification, Simon. Thank you, Andres. And now we have a very last question that arrived. I think we have several minutes for that. Hernando Rivas asks, thank you, Hernando, also for your company. What strategies have you thought about to have
price in the stock market to continue growing. Hernando, good morning, and thank you for joining us. Hernando, indeed, the strategies that we set forth for at Pay Asset Management to manage pay are not solely based by issuing shares, but it's a sum of things. When we began to build in 2022, when we migrated to variable rent, when we made a split of the share and we created the liquidity, now we've complemented this with disinvestments and issuing shares to deleverage. So all of the strategy is aimed at every time all of our stakeholders have information that's transparent and make decisions. And this should lead, as we've shown, and I said at the beginning of this call, to have financial indicators that are significantly better, to have a debt to EBITDA to 7 to 4.5, to have an ICR above 173, to have a loan to value that today is at 28, and with the disinvestment can move to 25, to have a dividend that's no longer as in 2023, only at 2%, but now above 6%, and with the idea to be close to 8% by 2026, shows clear signs that we should close the gap between the value of the secondary market and the equity value or NAV. So we believe that all these strategies that we've shown, not recently, but for many years, are giving results and should end with a process to end the or close the gap. Obviously, something that should help us to do this faster is the decrease of interest rates. Unfortunately, there was more stability and less decrease as we expected. We know that with the decisions made by the central bank to keep its rate at 9.25, there's certain concern with managing the inflation, and that could be the topic that we still have to resolve so that we hope the gap is closed quicker. And while the interest rate drops, obviously the GDP will have positive effects. First, we'll decrease the financial expense. We're talking this year about 300 billion pesos. So while the rate drops, we can be below that figure, and that means an increase in the distributable yield. But it's not only with the financial expense, but also the valuation of real estate assets by cash flow discounted depends really on the discount rate. And discount rate is the interest rate. So while interest rates decrease, we can consolidate a process to close the gap between the equity value and the value of the share in the secondary market. Thank you, Haidu. And thank you to all of our investors and the people that have joined us in this space for the earnings call of the third quarter of 2025. We hope to see you again in February when we'll be reporting the completion of 2025. Thank you so much for joining us in this space. Thank you for connecting to the earnings call of the third quarter of 2025. To have access to the information of this call, you can scan the QR code next or visit www.pay.com.